XenoLogic.
What's good, guys, and welcome to another episode of Mini Football Logic. It's Xeno here, and in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the FA Cup semi-finals that happened this weekend. Now, let's talk about the first semi-final. Let's just get straight into it. Chelsea versus Man City was first up. Now, Chelsea had chances, but they didn't take them. Nicholas Jackson is the main culprit, missing three big chances when the game was still 0-0. Chelsea played some really good stuff and had the better of the play in the first half, with the team making inroads on the left flank in particular, where Jackson's first chance came. Kyle Walker was definitely struggling on that side. Nonetheless, Man City looked like a team that was still feeling the mental and physical effects of a 120-minute-plus-minute battle early in the week. It looked like they were still going through the motions, still processing the heartbreak of a penalty shootout loss to a team they dominated. But in the second half, they willed themselves back into the game. Even though the likes of De Bruyne, Rodri and Foden looked way off, they found a way to eventually grow into the game. And even though Chelsea did have that double chance of Jackson where he fluffed a one-on-one finish, running it too close to Ortega, and then the following header was also too close to City's backup keeper, Man City were able to find a way, with De Bruyne being sent through and driving across that Pedrovic stuck a leg at. That deflection set it in the path of Bernardo Silva, and he dutifully dispatched home. Ultimately, Chelsea probably would have done with some changes early in the match as City grew into the game, but Pochettino sat on his hands until the 79th minute. Cole Palmer, even though he had his moments, didn't look like adding goal number 26 this season, and unfortunately the Gallagher left-wing experiment was ineffective as he isn't a winger in any sense of the word. Now, of course, he was obviously brought in for the defensive stability. And even you can see offensive stability because ball retention, he's a natural central midfielder, so naturally he's going to always prioritise keeping the ball. But in hindsight, he isn't a winger in any sense of the word. And based on the way the game materialism panned out, they needed someone, Chelsea, that could stretch City's defence alongside Jackson and Madueke, especially with the underwhelming performances that they had put in. Also, in that second half, it almost looked like they lost energy the more the game went on, as City obviously improved their ball retention and were thus able to maintain pressure for longer periods. They need fresh legs, and I think they waited a bit too long for those fresh legs to come on. City, however, will take that result and enter a final where there will be favourites to be. Regardless if it's Manchester United or Coventry that make it through. Haaland not playing was a big call, but Alvarez did not look that dangerous. But would have Haaland done better? Probably not in his current form, but we don't know for sure. Ultimately, a win for Chelsea was coached, but Jackson's finishing cost them, and therefore City had to punish them, because they're that good. It's as simple as that. Nonetheless, we'll see who Pep's Blues face in the final. Will it be the fellow Sky Blues, or will it be the red side of Manchester? Well, obviously now we know. And they're going to be facing Manchester United. Now, of course, on paper, looking at the two semi-finals, those are probably the two teams that we probably expected to see in the final. But boy, oh boy, oh boy. If you thought the first semi-final didn't go quite the way we all expected, the second one definitely did not. This match will go down in history as probably one of the finest, most entertaining, most stunning, and most dramatic FA Cup semi-finals ever played at the great Wembley Stadium. Oh my word. Now, for about the first 71 minutes, the game went exactly as planned. United, even though they've had huge absentees in their defence, they've had missing a lot of key defensive players, still managed to, you know, put out a really good back four. The only thing that looked a bit dodgy was Bamba-Saka, a left back, and obviously Casemiro playing as a centre back. But they looked largely untroubled, naturally controlled the game because naturally they had the better players, and they were filling it up. McTominay, Bruno and Maguire. I didn't say in the right order. I know Maguire scored second and then Bruno, but yeah. And then somehow, something just ticked. Manchester United after that third goal got way too casual, way too relaxed. And you can't do that regardless of the level of opposition. This is too big a game for you to rest on your laurels. And they opened the door slightly. And Coventry City, they saw that little opening and they ripped all the open. Once Ellis Sims scored that goal in the 71st minute, the game changed. For the rest of the tie, it became extremely competitive. Coventry pushed and they pushed. Callum O'Hare then scored 8 minutes after Sims' goal. And then the last dying embers of the game, Wan-Bissaka, the ball hits his hand and Hadji Wright shows that true American composure to tuck away the penalty, and the most unlikeliest of comebacks is complete. 3-3. Coventry at this point have done extremely well to get to extra time. How it's even been allowed to happen by Ten Hag's men is a criminal piece of behaviour in itself. They're laying into the gap between the two teams. Coventry are, you know, fighting for the playoffs, and they're about, they're a lot of points behind Norwich, based on what I am, based on what I've seen on the table. They're competing-ish for the playoffs. Yeah? They're eighth in the Championship. Man United, of course, Premier League, you know, they're mid-table as well. But Man United are a much better team than Coventry. We know that, right? But as we know, football matches aren't played on paper. You know, even though Man United are seventh in the Premier League, the matches aren't played on paper. And especially in the FA Cup, where we all know about the magic of the cup. Boy, a lot of magic was used here, because God damn. To go into extra time, and then for extra time to be what it was, United hit the bar with Bruno Fernandes, and Coventry actually won the game. They scored in the dying embers of extra time. Yeah? Victor Torp. Hadji Wright set up for him. And they completed the greatest comeback for sure in the FA Cup history. You cannot tell me a comeback that would have been greater than that. But just as it seemed, the most improbable, most unlikeliest comeback was complete. It was simply taken away from them. Simply taken away from them. And unfortunately, Hadji Wright was also marginally offside. Oh my days, it was so close. It was so flipping close. Wow. Imagine if he was onside. Imagine if he was onside. Ten Hag would have been sacked right then and there. You cannot continue. I can't even say this because I've actually kind of backed Ten Hag. I think he deserves more time. But there's some performances that you have to then sit back and realise, okay, maybe the players aren't playing for him. Maybe he doesn't know how to get them to continue to stay focused and concentrated, even though it's not really a manager's job. Only a manager can do so much for the players. This is showing that United are a long way away from where they need to be. The players are not there, they're not focused. But it's alright. The goal was offside. So we don't have to think about all this yada yada about Ten Hag being sacked. He's reached another final now. He should continue to stay in the job, but they need to back him and allow him to rebuild the team exactly in his image. But the signings he's made so far, in particular Onana and Anthony, have not inspired, you know, future optimism in terms of trying to build a team for him. Nonetheless, the goals were there for offside, and you can kind of tell that Coventry were a bit rattled in the penalty shootout. Honestly, they started off well. The first penalty got saved from Casemiro. It was way too casual. It was Bruno Silva, Bernardo Silva-esque, I was meant to say. And, but then United pretty much scored all the penalties from there. Coventry did score the opening two, but then missed the rest. Yeah, which is very unfortunate and it's very heartbreaking. But boy, they gave us a game to savour and to enjoy, and they will definitely leave with so much pride, and they should inject this into the Championship playoff campaign, because they have clearly proven that they're more than capable of playing in the top league. They definitely have what it takes. They definitely have the minerals, because wow, what a performance. Absolutely sensational. United definitely need to look at themselves in the mirror, because boy, if they turn up like that, those last 30 or so minutes, if they turn up like that against City in the final, doesn't even matter what level City's at, they'll get beat. But obviously it's a cup final, so you're surely not going to play like that, right? It's against the opposition that's clearly better than them, so that's not going to happen, right? Oh, Man United. You know, I've been saying this the last few episodes. They're one jammy side, and they really got away with one here. Really, really got away with one here. This could have been extremely disastrous. Extremely disastrous if they lost this game. In fact, it's still pretty disastrous that it got taken to penalties from 3-0 up in the 71st minute. But they made it through, and that's all that counts. They're in the final. Somehow they can erase this memory if they win in the final. That's the magic of football. So we'll see if they can do that. So here we have it. Man City versus Man United. FA Cup final. May 25th. Yeah, May 25th, I believe. They might change the date. You never know. But anyways, I'm going to end it here. Thank you all for listening. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't already. And I'll catch you in the next episode.
Mini Logic.